From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
It feels so good to be back. Welcome to another fantastic edition of WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday. It is Monday, October 5th, 2015. Just like each and every Monday here, a lot to get to. We'll recap what went down on homecoming weekend as the Spartans played host to the Purdue Boilermakers. Now, what looked to be a blowout, at least at halftime, did a bit of a 180. We'll chat about what in the world is going on with Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans when it comes to the second half. We'll also recap the Michigan Wolverines. Back-to-back shutouts as they get a 28-0 win over Maryland. We'll also be inviting Omari Sankofa of the State News to break down what he has seen from the Michigan State football team as well as Michigan State soccer and other projects that he is working on. We'll chat about the Lions and Seahawks tonight. We'll have weekend winners for you. And, yeah, we'll take your calls. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that we discuss here on our airwaves, you know that number. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this October 5th. Hey folks, how about this? We start with, of course, big news that broke on Saturday. Top recruit Miles Bridges announced in his hometown of Flint, Michigan, that he will be joining his friend Cassius Winston in East Lansing to play for the great Tom Izzo in the Michigan State men's basketball team. With Bridges, his commitment to MSU, Michigan State right now has the number one 2016 recruiting class in the nation. Yeah, you could kind of hear him there. That was during the moment where he decided to pull out a Michigan State hat and commit to the Spartans. He joins point guard Cassius Winston from the D, number 29 overall by ESPN.com, shooting guard Josh Langford from Alabama at number 17, and big man Nick Ward from Ohio. He is the number 39 player in the nation. After a nerve-wracking finish against Purdue on Saturday, the MSU football team has fallen behind TCU and Baylor in this week's Associated Press poll, sitting at number 4 in the nation. Ohio State still sits at numero uno. The Buckeyes, they were the only team, top 16, to have the same ranking after last week. The Buckeyes held off Indiana 34-27 on Saturday and have now been top-ranked 101 times, matching Oklahoma for the most in the 79-year history of the media poll. After a shutout win for the second straight week, Michigan leaped four spots in this week's AP poll to number 18. The Wolverines will host an unbeaten number 13 Northwestern on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. at the Big House. Miguel Cabrera clinched his fourth American League batting title in the past five seasons yesterday, writing his name in history among former Tiger legends like Ty Cobb and Harry Hillman. Now with a home run at U.S. Cellular Field to cap off his final start of the 2015 season, Miggy finished the year with a .338 batting average. Impressive stuff. October for baseball fans means one thing, and one thing only. That's right, the playoffs, folks. Today, the 2015 MLB postseason schedule was released, and the wild card matchups begin with the Astros at the Yankees and the Cubs against the Pirates. It's the fifth week of the NFL matchups, and the Detroit Lions are still in search of its first win of the 2015 year. I tell you what, it's going to be interesting matchups as the Lions are set to face the high-powered Seattle Seahawks in Monday Night Football, kicking off at 8:30 p.m. at CenturyLink Field in Seattle, Washington. Detroit will look for improvements in their rushing offense, which currently ranks dead last in the league with 135 total yards through three games and 2.6 yards per attempt. Sunday, the Red Wings trim their roster to 27. The team placed Pavel Datsyuk, Danny DeKeyser, and Darren Helm on seven-day injured reserve. The team also announced Monday that former Michigan forward Dylan Larkin has earned a spot on the opening night roster. He's only 19 years old. Drew Brees, and I hate to bring this story because you guys know I'm a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. Drew Brees became part of an exclusive club on Sunday night, joining Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, and Dan Marino as the only quarterbacks in the 400 club. I tell you what, and that Brees did it in such a dramatic fashion, the game winner in a contest that the previously winless New Orleans Saints so desperately needed to win might very well change the course of the year for this young team. He did it on an 80-yard pass to C.J. Spiller to cap off a 26-20 victory over my Dallas Cowboys. R.J. Williamson had surgery Sunday to repair a torn bicep suffered in MSU's win over Purdue. D'Antonio said R.J. Williamson may be back for the last regular season game, but will be back for the postseason for sure. And running back L.J. Scott had a career 18 carries and 146 yards Saturday against Purdue, and he was named as the Big Ten Freshman Player of the Week. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on those or anything on your mind, call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, it's about that time to start the show.
Honestly says I'm extremely proud of how our football team played the second half. Though they came out, showed a lot of character, a lot of grit, and the energy was really good on the sideline. You could see them fight back.
Nothing, get a 24-21 with the chance. That's everything you could ask for against those guys.
It's not a secret that you can't turn the ball over and you can't make personal foul penalties that are after the play. They understand that. You have to work at it. I mean, that's one of the things that you have to continually do to take that next step.
They made plays. I thought they played hard. They played physical football. And, we won the football game, but this game has always been an extremely contested game. You can go back you can go all the way back to why I was here. I've been here 15 years. And as an assistant, and then now 9 years as a head coach. And the game has always been tight. And we're fortunate to win this one, but I credit our football team's toughness. I think the true character of a football team exists when you can take something where the tide's starting to swing one way in the fourth quarter, and you were able to stop and come out with a win.
This is a hard conference to play in, and this just shows how hard it is to get a win every Saturday. You don't just go out there and they're not handed out. You got to earn them, and we had to earn it at the end of the game.
What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to another fantastic edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I must say, as I stated to start today's show, It feels good to be back, I must say. Of course, last week we rolled in four of our best of current sports shows, in which we sort of looked back at the some of our more notable segments, interviews, and so on and so forth, because I was out in Atlanta. How about that? The ATL. It was a fun time being out there. I was in Atlanta for the National Association of Broadcasters radio show conference that, of course, brings about, personalities and production assistants that work behind the scenes, marketing individuals, all that work in the world of radio. It was really amazing. I was out there with our, director here at WKAR, Gary Reed, whose vision has really just, brought a lot of life around these parts, to say the least, right? And WKAR, we were nominated for the non-commercial station of the year. And Gary didn't tell me until, the day before we took off that we were nominated. So the conference lasted, all week and culminated on Thursday of last week with the award show hosted by one of my favorite comedians, Ricky Smiley. And, Ricky was just hilarious the whole night. And, it's such a nerve-wracking experience, being in the crowd and knowing that you are nominated for an award. And, the anticipation building up slowly before your station, the name comes across the board and it's said over the mic. And along with each and every nominee, it's so nerve-wracking hearing your name and then waiting for that, that 3-second period, before you know whether or not if you won the award. And when WKAR's name was called, when our call letters were said through the airwaves, oh my goodness. I mean, it was a pinch me moment. So, I along with, with Gary and I, we went up there and accepted the Marconi Radio Award for non-commercial station of the year on the station's behalf. Gary said a few words on the mic, then we, took a lot of pictures, and we were interviewed actually even by the local media in the ATL. There were a lot of press out there covering the event. So I just want to say how humbled I am to work for a station and to work with an unbelievable team here at WKAR that puts in so much work, in blood, sweat, and tears to bring quality programming to all of you out there, our listeners, because without you, we are nothing. And without the incredible team here at WKAR, who knows what I will be doing right now. You know what I mean? I tell you, you guys make it happen. And the team here really, really does an unbelievable job to bring solid content to you guys each and every day. So it's humbling, though. It was a fun time out there, but I tell you what, it feels good to be back, being back here on the air, talking to all of you out there. Because you guys know I love what I do, and I love the sporting world. And, of course, I was keeping abreast of everything that went down last week while I was in the ATL, including, of course, the commitment from Miles Bridges. That was like the talk of the town last week to see if Bridges would join the incredible 2016 recruiting class, which we'll get into later on in the show. Also previewing and watching that Michigan State and Purdue matchup that got a little dicey in the end. Homecoming, I had a lot of friends come back just like every year for homecoming who are in town to witness that game. And, man, at first, looking at the score, 21-0 at halftime. And to see Purdue come back in that game and actually had a chance to either take the lead or tie on that final possession, Calhoun, Arjun Calhoun, solidifying things and sealing the deal with that pass breakup. But, man, Michigan State, they definitely dodged a bullet because it could have been worse. It definitely could have been worse on Saturday, folks. So, again, we're going to be diving into that game in just a sec. We're going to invite Omari Sankofa. This is the first time he's been on our airwaves. He is a sports writer for the State News. Omari will break down what he has seen from the Michigan State football team. But before we dive into that, I want to invite a man who I haven't seen in over a week now, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's current sports, Isaac Constance. How you doing, Isaac?
Oh, doing well. Nice long break. I kind of needed it off, actually, with my 21 credits and all that. So right. I've been busy and had a couple of essays due last week, an exam, and a couple more essays due this week and an exam. So it was nice having the week to kind of gather myself. And But, I mean, I miss the show. Don't get me wrong. Like you said, it's humbling to work for a radio station that won that sort of award at the National Association of Broadcasters. Al, that's big time.
Crazy.
That is big time. When I saw that on your Facebook wall, I was so happy and felt so blessed. And I can only imagine how you felt receiving the award.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's a collective effort, man. It's not me. I mean, it's you know, what the guys do at Current State with Mark Bayshore and Scott Pohl and Kevin Lavery and just that entire team and everyone who works there. I mean, you know, Jody Noah. I mean, I could go on and on and on with the amount of names I can throw out there. Of course, you know, Peter Worf. Our station manager here who does an outstanding job. I could go on and on, but it is truly humbling. Humbling experience, especially when you go to something like that. And, you know, I was kind of like a kid in a candy store, man, because, you know, I'm sitting there looking around at all of these unbelievable talented individuals, who attended that conference. And I'm just sitting there just trying to soak it up and learn as much as possible. So, but really, really cool stuff. But all right, let's get into the sports now. We want to talk about this Michigan State and Purdue matchup that took place on Saturday. Michigan State, I don't know. I can't put my finger on exactly what is going on with the Spartans when it comes to consistency throughout an entire game, because Michigan State in the second half of games, they just haven't been good. They have not been good. They've eased up on that gas pedal and allowed teams to get back in the game and make it interesting. When, you know, I've been looking all year so far for Michigan State to really just stomp on somebody's throat, because we all know that as much as we try to ignore it and as much as Coach D'Antonio and the fellow personnel who are a part of that football team, and as much as they say, you know, they all count one and we're just trying to win. But at the same time, with the college football playoff being enacted, and with a committee now deciding who the top four teams at the end of the year are going to be, style points do matter. It's not just about getting the win, but it's how you look when you do get the win. And even though Michigan State still undefeated, still one of the top tier teams in all of college football, let alone the Big Ten Conference, but they have looked rocky when it comes to sealing the deal in games. And Michigan State right now, and I was looking at a few stats here from the Lansing State Journal. Graham Couch did a great job of sort of breaking this down and looking at the hardcore numbers of what Michigan State hasn't done in the second half of games. Right now, Michigan State is right now averaging 4.8 points in the third quarter, 10 total in the second half. When it comes to the defensive side of the football, Michigan State is allowing 6.2 points in the third and 14 points total in the second half. Looking at what Purdue was able to do on the ground, Markell Jones was fantastic on Saturday for the Boilermakers and was a huge component to why they came back. But Michigan State, they let up 165 yards on the ground. Markell had a fabulous afternoon, including a 68-yard run. Just Michigan State, it's amazing because they had a 21-0 lead going into halftime, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, this is going to be a complete blowout. This is going to be the game that you look at, and Michigan State is just going to finally just pull away and make this thing not even close. But that did not happen. And a lot of that, I will say this, a lot of that has to do with the injury bug, because Michigan State right now is reeling. They certainly are, folks. I mean, you see guys like, you know, Jack Conklin, and even looking at, you know, Dennis Finley, who got injured, an ugly injury on Saturday for him. He's going to be out for the rest of the year with a broken leg. R.J. Williamson, I mentioned in our Quick Hit Headliners that R.J., he just had surgery on his right bicep, and we won't see him until the end of the season. At the end of the day, when you have injuries, and the amount of injuries that a team like Michigan State has had, is going to challenge your depth early. And we all know, you know, how D'Antonio loves to throw out that next man up mentality, and that's exactly what this team has to do. The next man has to come up and perform. And I just think it's really unrealistic to expect that next man up to come in and really just pick off where the starting guy left off. It's really unrealistic to have that sort of expectation for those guys who are coming in, you know, two roles and trying to back up premier players. Very, very tough. And that is also hurting Michigan State. But when looking at the entire package of what Michigan State was not able to do in the second half of that Purdue matchup, it makes you scratch your head. And specifically for me, I you know, watching that the play calling for Michigan State against Purdue in that second half, I just feel like right now Connor Cook is on a leash or something like that. I mean, it surprised me that there were multiple times in that second half where Michigan State, you know, was faced with a, you know, maybe with a third and long and 30, third and eight situation, and they didn't call a pass play for Connor Cook just to sort of, you know, air it out and find, you know, opportunities to challenge that Purdue secondary. That really amazed me. I mean, you in other respects, you saw Michigan State hand the ball off to an L.J. Scott or Madre London instead of letting Connor Cook do his thing. And that hurt because Michigan State only had 11 passing yards in the second half. 11, folks. That's it. And I just kind of scratched my head and said, man, I just don't really get that. They were also 2 of 8 on third downs. So multiple things, you know, puzzled me throughout that game. But those were the glaring things for me. The injuries, Connor Cook not even giving a chance to really be Connor Cook. And by the way, Connor Cook became the all-time winningest quarterback in Michigan State football history, surpassing Kirk Cousins with his 28th victory. Pretty impressive stuff. Overall, though, I just think that there are multiple things and multiple areas for this team to tighten up on if they want to be competitive and not have an edge on that schedule before they meet numero uno top dog Ohio State on November 21st. I just think with the way Michigan State is playing right now, it opens the door for a team that isn't supposed to beat Michigan State to possibly beat them moving forward. Isaac, what'd you think of that game on Saturday, man?
Yeah, Al, this victory is nothing to celebrate. In fact, the Spartan fans, I'd say, should lament it. I chalk it up to two things, and one of them's exactly what you said. Connor Cook, the guy came in as a top 15 Heisman candidate, and that third down sticks out in my mind, too, when thinking about the game. It's 3rd and 8. You're up 3 points on Purdue. There's 2 minutes to go. They've still got 2 or 3 timeouts, and you're around the midfield mark, and you choose to run the ball. How, or maybe it was a short screen pass, but something guaranteed, something that was short yardage, no risk involved. When you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the country and maybe the best NFL prospect. So I cannot fathom D'Antonio's decision-making, especially for Connor Cook coming off such a great season. So that's one problem I have, not trusting the quarterback who now is the winningest in Spartan history.
Yeah.
The other problem I have is, you know, the Spartans always, Spartan dogs, right? They came up with an underdog mentality. They came up with the little brother. You know, Mark D'Antonio said, you know, pride comes before the fall, all of that. I'm beginning to see a little bit of excessive pride for the Spartans. I'm going to relate this back to my English literature classes. You don't want the Spartans to face the face of somebody like Odysseus, where in the Odyssey, it's not just pride, it's hubris, excessive pride, overlooking the small events, the small games like Purdue that should be taken for granted, but you actually take them for granted. You don't give them the proper attention, and that's what I've seen from the Spartans. There has yet to be a blowout game this season. Seriously, Air Force.
Yeah,
that
no,
was close. That was a nail biter.
Yeah.
If they would have scored on one of those 4th and goals, then they might have won that game, or at least sent it to overtime.
Right.
Purdue knocking on the doorstep in a 3-point game. Purdue was 1-3 going into that. Then you've got Central Michigan, a good team, but they played the Spartans right to halfway through the 4th quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Western Michigan. One late drive, that pick didn't happen from Copeland, Viante Copeland, then we're looking at a game where, again, the Spartans might be facing the possibility of an overtime. Yes, they played well against Oregon, but no, this has been a disgraceful showing against every team that the Spartans should have beaten.
Now, I'm going to take a bit of a different view because, you know, I'm big when not overreacting. I can feel the anger coming through the speakers
my
right now from
Isaac. My face is red, I think.
Somebody get him some water. Oh, my gosh. So I don't want to overreact. Again, Michigan State is still undefeated. It's still a long year. What are they, like 4 or 5 weeks into the season now? You know what I mean? So I don't want to overreact in that regard. 5-0, 1-0 in conference right now, and there's still a lot of football left to play. But, again, when you have, and this is the big thing for me, the injuries. When you have the amount of injuries that Michigan State has had so early in the year, eventually, I just think you're going to see, you know, Michigan State have some inconsistencies in certain areas. What was glaring for me, and again, you bring up the spread. I mean, Michigan State is only one of five teams in college football that hasn't covered a spread yet, according to Las Vegas. But for me, looking at the defense for Michigan State, again, you had injuries to start the year. You had a big one to Ed Davis. And that forced, you know, a guy like Chris Frey to come in and sort of fill that void. R.J. Williamson goes down. He's a big component to what they do defensively as well. Again, I brought up, you know, Dennis Finley's injury. Jack Conklin. You actually had Jack Allen, the center. He actually had to play a bit of tackle for this team looking at, the game against Purdue. So guys, you know, are being forced into roles in which, you know, they previously have had no experience in some respects. So that is going to be something to pay attention to because, again, you rather have it, if anything, to try and be a glass half full type of a guy right now. If you're going to have those injuries, it's good that Michigan State is having those injuries right now so that those individuals who are coming up can acquire and accrue that experience and will get better from week to week to week. But at the same time, it's hard to ignore that this is hurting this team. Also, special teams. Michigan State has to play better when it comes to special teams. We've been talking about this from the very beginning of the year when it comes to the coverage, and letting guys return punts and kickoff returns, you know, for touchdowns. That can't happen, but at the same time, that didn't happen on Saturday. But again, when it comes to, you know, the kickers, you know, the punters and the field goals, Jake Hartbarger, he can't fumble like that in the third quarter and give up the football. That can't happen. Michael Geiger missing the 35-yard field goal. That can't happen. Those are supposed to be automatic. So they got to tighten up, man. They certainly have to tighten up. But again, I just want to say that it's early. Michigan State is still undefeated. But again, with the way they are playing right now, it just cracks open that window, man. And sometimes that's all you need to be upset. Point blank, period.
I'm not a fan of overreaction either, which is why I'm so mad. I don't think what I said is overreaction. I think this spells bad juju for the Spartans, maybe for the rest of the season. Now, listen, you're right. It's early. They can still fix it. But Michigan State, for them not to be able to take care of these teams in the future, I don't know how it works because the three-season ending injuries are going on, and those aren't coming back.
Yeah, that's very, very true. So, and I got to be real. I mean, a lot of MSU fans may not like, you know, this, but I really think that, you know, the guys out in Ann Arbor are playing some good football, folks. I think right now they're playing better football than the Spartans are. I got to say that. I had to get it out there. I think that Michigan right now looks really good. And I think right now, you know, I was looking at Michigan's schedule, folks, and it's very interesting to see how this season has gone for Michigan because, of course, they started off the year losing to a very, very good Utah team. In fact, you know, the big conversation that I at least saw when I was in my hotel room in Atlanta was that, you know, Michigan right now, again, they look better than Michigan State because, you know, Utah handling Oregon, you know, it that makes Michigan State's win against Oregon a bit diluted. Whereas Michigan losing to Utah, that makes that even more credible now. So they start off the season against Utah, a team that they weren't favored against. They lose that one 24-17. They play a few lollipops against Oregon State and UNLV, handle business there. And then I remember, you know, the week of the BYU game, that was going to be a test to see where they were in the year. They ended up beating BYU 31-0. And then they follow that up with back-to-back shutouts, getting a win against a very terrible Maryland team, 28-0. But again, they've had an early test, played some lollipops, then had a test against BYU, handled that. They play a lollipop in Maryland. And now, the next two games, you get to see where they are at this point in the year, because they're going to play a Northwestern team that I really think is for real this season. Of course, Northwestern, you know, they beat Stanford this year. They beat a very good Duke football team on the road. That's going to be an interesting matchup against number 13, Northwestern. And then, of course, Michigan and Michigan State go at it at the Big House on October 17th. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got my man Michael from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing?
What up? What up, man? How you doing?
What's up, homie?
What's up, man? I hear you in ATL, man. Did you, you know about the Two Live Stews? You ever heard of them, the two top radio with Ryan Stewart and the other guy? He used to play for the Detroit Lions.
No, I have not heard of that radio show. That's in the ATL.
Yeah, because you know what happened is they say they canceled their show over the Christmas holiday, and they hadn't been back on the air since. I wonder what was going on with that, you know. And okay. Also, did you get to see the Falcon Stadium down there? When they're building the stadium, they're building a new stadium down in Atlanta.
We did. You know what? We actually, Gary Reed and myself, we linked up with Jeff Gintner, who is the vice president and GM of Fox Sports South down there. Jeff is a good friend of mine, man. We went out, linked up with him, got a tour of the entire, ATL area, and then we went out to eat. And he actually took us by the construction for the new stadium, and oh my gosh, I mean, it looks unbelievable right now. It's still in the early stages, and they're still constructing,
right?
But right now what they have up, I mean, you can just tell it's going to be a state-of-the-art stadium. The entire roof is going to be retractable. It's going to be off the chain, Mike.
All right man, I know you can hear some of the latest out of the ATL. Any new groups down there?
I don't know. You know what, do you mind this, Mike? I didn't get a chance to explore the city like I wanted to, because, I mean, we were in the you know how conferences are.
Right,
y'all
was busy doing business.
Yeah, I mean, we were in meetings from like 9 a.m. to like, and then, it would usually cap off with the dinner at the end. You know, I wouldn't get to my hotel room till like 9 p.m. And then during that time, I was sleepy, man. So what I would do to fall asleep, and, I'm a big fan of reality shows. I would like watch Love and Hip Hop or something like that and just fall asleep on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's how my time went.
What I was going to tell you, being in Atlanta, do you think SEC football, I know that basketball is not on the par of Big Ten, do you think that's more hype down there, or is just more that's the only sport they have?
No, I don't know if it's more hype. Of course, the SEC has been a powerhouse in college football for quite some time, and the culture is certainly rich. But I think that you can find that rich culture in multiple other schools other than the SEC as well. So I wouldn't say that, Mike. But at the same time, I mean, there's no denying it. I mean, I've never been to an SEC game, but the atmosphere is certainly, and I've heard from multiple people that have, it's certainly an unbelievable culture, without a doubt.
All right. Here, I got a basketball question to ask you. You was talking about Oregon and Utah, man. I was reading the sporting news on basketball previews and about the college basketball, and I thought about the Oregon basketball coach and the Utah basketball coach. They 2-3. You know how they rate the basketball best coaches in the conference? And I said, wow, I didn't know Oregon had a tough time looking for a basketball coach. And here's their basketball coach. I think he's number two coach in the conference. And the Utah basketball coach is number three. You know Arizona is number one.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that that guy from Oregon was a good coach. Maybe I'm wrong, man. Maybe Austin is the coach out there.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
I remember.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because, Oregon, they got Trevor Manuel out there now. I think Oregon got resources and everything. Maybe they can stop, it's not a basket. It's a basket. Yeah, they got professional basketball with Portland Trailblazers, but I don't see too many basketball players coming from that region,
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. Very true.
Here you go. This is the last one I'm moving along.
No,
do you think Michigan State was going to get Miles Bridges. You think that
I did.
Just because he's you really thought so.
I did. And the big factor that weighed in with that, and again, you know, when Miles had his press conference, he said that he knew all last week that he was going to commit to Michigan State. And the big thing was, of course, Cassius Winston. You know what I mean? They're so close, so that when Winston made that commitment to come to Michigan State, I mean, you know, it was pretty much setting, you know, in Bridges' mind that, okay, this would be a kind of, you know, pretty cool to link up with him. And then the amount of talent. And we're going to, you know, get into this conversation more extensively as we move on in the show. But, again, you talk about guys like Josh Langford, Nick Ward, Josh Jackson. I mean, that core, I mean, I think you know, Bridges looked at the talent that is going to be a part of that class and said, man, I want to be a part of something special, and why not do it? I want to be a part of the Flintstone legacy. Why not, you know, come to Michigan State, a story basketball program, and make history? I think that was the end-all, be-all right there, though.
Don't they – what's the only senior on Michigan State's basketball? Don't they have any seniors?
As far as his upcoming year?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Valentine and Forbes, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, Valentine
and,
is going to be.
And Costello.
Yeah, and Costello, yeah. Exactly. Tum-Tum, Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum, Nairn Jr., Denzel Valentine, and actually Matt Costello, they were named as captains last week for the team. So it's going to be a fun season, though, Mike.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, man. Is it basketball practice now?
They are practicing. They had their first practice last week. Yep.
Okay, no more Midnight Madness and all that crazy stuff.
They got Midnight Madness coming up very, very soon. And we'll make sure we're going to be there. We'll have our cameras here like every year. We're definitely going to cover it, Mike.
All right, man. I'm moving along, man. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Mike.
It.
Always love talking to you, man. Again, folks, if you want to call in and voice your thoughts on anything that we talk about here on the show, or you can even go off the cuff, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So much to get to, so little time. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. She said it's cold outside, and she hands me a raincoat. She's always worried about things like that. What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we have about, 20 minutes left in the show. Call in. We want you to call in. I want to get your thoughts on, you know, your thoughts on the Michigan State football program right now. What did you see from that Purdue matchup on Saturday? Are you panicking? What are the question marks for you guys out there? And, you know, I saw a photo, Isaac, that everyone seems to be talking about. There were a few photos actually floating around about the attendance at Spartan Stadium for the Michigan State and Purdue game. And, again, it was cold. It was rainy. I mean, at halftime, Michigan State was up 21-0. So, again, there are a few people out there that are, you know, bad. I got some tweets. I got some texts, you know, over the weekend about it. And a lot of people are unhappy with the attendance at Spartan Stadium. But I got to be real. Cold, rainy, looks like a blowout. I get it. I understand why you left. So I'm not – that's why I didn't even bring it up in the first segment, because I didn't think it was a big deal. But a lot of people are ticked off about how the Spartan fans did not stay throughout that entire game. I don't think it's a big deal.
My problem with complaints about that is the same as last year against Nebraska. If you're going to complain about the attendance – complain about the team, too. Don't shift the focus from the team to the fans. If the team doesn't show up and the fans don't show up, blame both. But, no, I mean, at the end of the day, the brunt of the blame has to go on the team, not the fans. Don't detract the attention from the poorness of the team's quality.
But I get it. You know, if you're a Spartan fan and, you know, the team, you know, and if you're looking
around.
If you're at the game,
I get it.
Yeah, if you're
but
at
if
the
you're
game.
Not, don't. Right. complain about the people.
It's cold. It's rainy. It was 21-0 at halftime. I probably would have dipped out, too. Come on.
Yeah, my friends did.
Yeah, boom. There you go. Call them out, my man. All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. This is the first time he is on our airwaves. I want to correct myself because he just let me know. He is no longer with the State News. He's actually now a writer for Campus Rush and has been doing one fantastic job, folks. His name is Omari Sankofa. Omari, it is fantastic to have you on, man. We've been trying to do this for a long time.
Gavin. I'm happy to be here.
Definitely, man. So tell me first off about the move. I mean, because I know you were writing for State News, and you just told me when we were on a break that before the season started for MSU football that you got involved with Campus Rush, and you're actually like writing for Sports Illustrated, right?
Right. So I initially did plan to write football for the State News because I've been at the State News pretty much my entire time in college. I'm a senior now.
Yeah.
And cover men's basketball in the spring. So I said, yeah, I'll come back and do football. Why not? And over the summer, like Campus Rush just kind of became, you know, a thing, like, you know, halfway through, like as far as my knowledge of it.
Right.
And they were looking for somebody from Michigan State who could be the correspondent, you know, for East Lansing. And, you know, through one way or another, it ended up becoming me. I got a recommendation from somebody to give me that job. So I made the switch. I mean, pretty much like right before the season started, where I could no longer do football for the State News because I was at Campus Rush. So sort of a last minute thing, but it worked out for the best.
That is very cool stuff. So I mean, what's Campus Rush? And you know, what's their affiliation with SI?
So it's just a new project that they launched right before the football season started. That's kind of more the you know, the fun aspect of college football. You know,
right.
Like we're all on campus. We're students. We know what the fandom is like here. So we're doing more behind the scenes stories, like, you know, from the fan perspective or like fan profiles. Doing a new thing now called Campus Bites, where we're looking at, you know, where the students go to eat, like what really captures the atmosphere of like this campus as far as food or like a location. So it's just, you know, behind the scenes stuff like that, stuff that the SI writers may not be able to get because they're focused on the season and the game. So
you know, it's just not X's and O's talk. You're
so it's
breaking
not just,
down the game and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So it's not just X's and O's. It's more like that behind the scenes, like what really makes, or in my case, Michigan State, and not just X's and O's that's on the field.
That's very cool stuff. Well, I tell you what, I followed your work when you were at the State News, and you do one outstanding job. And I want to get your take on the Michigan State football program this year. We saw what took place against Purdue at home at Spartan Stadium. The Spartans just you know, battling with staying consistent throughout an entire game and letting other teams, you know, in the door. What are your thoughts on what you've seen so far from this squad?
You know, they've kind of looked similar to how they've looked in the past where, you know, the season starts and it's games that you think they should blow out that they don't blow out. And this is kind of like what we've seen before. I mean, you know, there's spots where you think they perform better where they really haven't, and there's spots that you expect them to perform well in where they have performed well in. So I think this season, by them coming in, you know, for the hype of last season, Cotton Bowl, the year before that, Rose Bowl, I think this is the year people kind of peg them to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for one reason or another, they kind of haven't. And injuries have been a big factor in that, of course, because it seems like every day you're hearing about somebody who's lost for the season. I mean, RJ Williamson was just announced yesterday. So that's definitely, you know, been a factor as well. But I think they've been good, but I don't think they've kind of taken the next step that people expected them to take this season.
You know, Amari, I walked in and I found out this news last week, and I was kind of bummed I didn't have a current sports radio show because last week was the anniversary. I think the 40-year anniversary, I believe, of the matchup between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. And I came, you know, you guys can see this, but I'm going to post it on my Instagram. But Muhammad Ali is actually on the latest cover of Sports Illustrated. And I was flipping through, man, and I actually caught an interview between Connor Cook and Dan Patrick. And Dan Patrick works very closely with SI as well. And they kind of talk about, you know, Connor Cook being a Heisman Trophy candidate. Now, of course, you know, as I stated at the top of the hour, I mean, Connor Cook just became the all-time winningest quarterback in the history of Michigan State football. Quite the accomplishment, right? 28 wins, surpassing Kirk Cousins. And looking at Cook's numbers, though, so far this year, even looking at the Purdue game, I don't know if we can have that conversation anymore, even though it's very, very early. What do you think has attributed to Connor Cook not having those eye-popping numbers to be in that conversation so far?
You know, it is early, and it's just tough to talk about Michigan State in October because they have tended to peak late in the past couple seasons.
Right, right.
Yet, I think, you know, like I said before, people kind of expected the Spartans to take that next step, and that includes Connor Cook kind of solidifying that, you know, Heisman Trophy candidacy that he kind of built the past couple years. We haven't seen it yet. They're only going into week five. I think as, you know, I think against Michigan or, you know, some of the games that are coming up, we will begin to see more of that.
Mm.
But we've also seen, you know, D'Antonio rely heavily on the running game so far with Maje Lennon and LJ Scott. And
right.
LJ Scott's been a revelation. I mean, you know, freshman running back. He's now Big Ten freshman of the week. He had like two touchdowns last week. You know, like, I think you definitely wanted to see Connor Cook kind of step up a little bit more. But I'd be more concerned if it was week eight and he wasn't doing this as opposed to it week four, because they really haven't had a game from the showcase anything other than Oregon, you know, which he did come through with some big plays down the stretch. So I think it's just tough. I think it's tough when, you know, you're playing the teams that Michigan State has played and the team tends to kind of relax and not step up as they should. So that's more of a team issue and not just a Connor Cook issue because they tend to do that as a team, you know. So I think I'm going to wait till like week six, week seven, and then see how he's still doing.
Don't want to overreact.
But don't overreact yet.
Right.
Because it is week four and they've only really had one big game.
But at the same time, you know, Michigan State, I mean, they pride themselves on just focusing on W's.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers and the Heisman Trophy talk, that's just noise. You know what I mean? But for Cook, and again, it's an interesting point that you made from a play-calling perspective, relying on guys like Mondre London, L.J. Scott, making sure they attack on the ground. But I really think, especially in the second half of that Purdue game, Connor Cook wasn't given an opportunity to really air the football out because they were relying on those horses. Do you think the play calling has been too, quote-unquote, conservative?
It has been conservative. You know, I think Purdue was definitely a game where you kind of wanted to see them just put the game away at halftime. You know, obviously, as you said earlier, the fans left at halftime. You know, everybody thought that the game everybody thought the game was over, you know. They went home, you know, and the team kind of, you know, mentally went home, too, in the play calling.
Yeah, exactly,
you know,
right?
Everybody went home. You know, and Purdue, you know, they came back and, you know, almost had a comeback effort. So it's just been a mental thing for this team where they tend to, you know, take the pedal off of the gas when they should – you know, just kind of just go home, you know, and just like put the game away. So we saw it in 2013, we saw it in 2014, like nothing's really changed in that aspect. And I think it probably is time to, you know, just let Connor Cook be Connor Cook and, you know, throw those long passes that he throws and, you know, just be himself. Like he hasn't really had a chance to be himself. He's kind of just been, you know, in the background, handing the ball off to London and L.J. Scott and just really hasn't had the opportunity to do what he usually does. So maybe, you know, after Purdue, we'll see the play calling become a little bit less conservative and, you know, see Connor Cook, you know, do the things that he's good at, which is, you know, throwing, you know, long, accurate passes.
Right. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Omari Sankofa, of course, sports writer for CampusRush.com. Now, Omari, I got to ask you, when you talk about, you know, because it seems as though the conversation of college football playoff, who are your top four teams, and I knew this was going to happen. When they first enacted the college football playoff, top four teams playing a playoff and then goes to the national championship. You knew that from week one all the way to the end of the season, every week people are going to overreact and say, these are the top four teams that should be in the college football playoff. That changes from week to week because we all know how the crazy world of sports is. What do you think the committee is really looking at when it comes to those four that end up making the playoff? Do you think it's more so how you look? Because I remember going back, and I bring this up all the time. Last year when Ohio State made it, I came on these airwaves and said, I don't think Ohio State should be there. They lost to Virginia Tech. And then what do? They win a national championship. What do you think they're looking for?
It's tough because you look at the AP polls from week to week. It's not always consistent in how they, you know, rank different teams. The argument against the Big Ten has been, well, who has Michigan State played? Who has Ohio State played so far to where they deserve number one and number two? And in the polls this week, you actually saw Michigan State fall from number two to number four because of their schedule. Like, Oregon ended up to not be worthy of the ranking they had when Michigan State played them.
Right.
By that same logic, you would say, well, Ohio State doesn't deserve that either because who have they beat so far this year and who have they really dominated as they should? Yet Ohio State is still number one. So it's just, there's really no consistency yet as far as how they rank different teams because, in my opinion, if Michigan State's not number two, Ohio State's not number one by the same logic because neither team has really played an opponent that tests that number one or number two ranking.
Mm-hmm.
The committee, I think they may be looking more at, you know, the past few seasons of work. Like, for example, Michigan State lost against Oregon and Ohio State last year. Both of those losses looked really bad, especially Ohio State. People said that was a nail in the coffin only for them to go on and win a national championship. So now that loss actually doesn't look bad at all. You lost to the number one and number two team, and you finished top five.
Exactly.
So I think the committee, when it's all said and done, they will look at the overall body of work for the past few seasons and not just this season alone. Because, you know, I keep saying it's week four, but it's such a mess right now. I mean, the rankings is just, I mean,
it is an
absolute mess. Like, nobody's really ranked where they should be.
Right.
It's just.
And on that same token, I got to ask you, I mean, do you think Michigan State right now is the number four team in the nation?
You know, if you're looking at body of work, yes. If you're looking at how that they're currently playing, they're really not even the second best team, you know, in the Big Ten. Like, you know, a Michigan fan will come in and say that Michigan has played better, and they have had better wins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just impossible to say. It really is. If you're looking at body at work, then yes, Michigan State does deserve that.
Right.
If you're going off of this season, you know, definitely still top 25, but it's been an absolute mess, and it's really tough to weigh, you know, which win is worth more than another one when, you know, teams haven't had schedules that could kind of back that up to begin with. So
exactly. That's so true. All right, Amari. Well, we got 10 minutes left, and before I get you out of here, I want to, you know, talk about the snag of course, Miles Bridges. Such a big get for Tom Izzo. And, you know, I went through the list right now of those who are currently committed for that unbelievable 2016 class. Cassius Winston, Josh Langford, Nick Ward, you know, Josh Jackson, question mark. I'm, you know, if he commits, oh my goodness, you could be talking about another Fab Five in the state of Michigan, right? How big was that for Tom Izzo?
It was huge because you've seen the past few seasons, you know, Izzo's in the running for these big recruits right up until the end where one way or another they end up going somewhere else.
Right.
So I think some of the narrative there had been, does Izzo still have it, you know, or is he going to go back into recruiting some of these lower, you know, recruited guys and making them into the players that they currently are?
Mm-hmm.
I think Miles Bridges is a huge sign that, you know, maybe it was just a weird couple of years and Izzo does still have it. I think the surprise Final Four run last year certainly doesn't hurt. You know, I think teams see that and say, you know, kind of like with the football program, you know, if you could take these players and do that, then what could he do with me, you know, where
exactly.
I'm coming as a top 10 guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Final Four run definitely kind of affirmed, you know, Izzo does still have it as far as coaching, you know, which I don't know was ever in question to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, Miles Bridges is a huge, huge get for them. And, you know, maybe we'll kind of see this train pick up, you know, because Josh Jackson hasn't ruled East Lansing out yet. So
exactly.
You know, we'll see what he does, you know. And if he comes here,
give him the trophy now, right? No, let's pump the brakes. We all know Crazy Sports is. And I actually sat back, though, and watched Miles Bridges' highlight tape for the first time this past weekend. Oh, my goodness. The kid's he's got crazy hops.
Like, he looks good. And the thing is, last year they really didn't have an athlete of that caliber, you know? So,
right.
It's, you know, it's really exciting to see a guy like that come to East Lansing.
It certainly is. All right, Omari, how can people read your work? What are you working on right now? Throw out your Twitter handle, all that kind of stuff, man.
All right, cool. So the website is campusrush.com. You know, you can read my work along with over 65 correspondents across America. You know, get a glimpse behind the scenes of every college campus. You can follow me at just my first last name, OmariSankofa. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
What do you got coming out, man? What's your latest work? Is it that
the Campus Bites. Yeah, so
gotcha.
I'm going to work on now. I'm not sure which restaurant I'm, you know, selecting. Of course, if you're a student here, you know, like, what the restaurants are that, you know, students go to, whether it's during the day or late at night. So
right. Well, what's your thing? Where do you go? Where do you go?
Where do I go at night?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have fancy taste. I go to Taco Bell, so maybe I'm the right person to do this.
Come on.
Yeah, but,
right. Taco Bell. That's can't knock it.
But during the day,
Taco
I love crunchy, so I'm going to say crunchy is my go-to spot overall.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Omari, it's been a pleasure, my man. We'll have you on very soon, later
Absolutely.
On down the future. That sound good?
Absolutely.
Omari Sankofa, sports writer for CampusRush.com. Let's hit a brief second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by bringing you a brief Lions and Seahawks preview as well. As weekend winners. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
I'm waking up at the start of the end of the world, but it's feeling just like every other morning before. Now I wonder what my life is gonna mean if it's gone.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have about 5 minutes left in the show. Of course, the Lions take on the Seahawks tonight at 8:30 p.m. The Lions are winless. Yeah. Have not won a game. It's tough watching this team right now. I don't know if you guys saw this as well. Just breaking news before we get on the airwaves concerning the Miami Dolphins. They actually fired Coach Joe Philbin after a 1-3 start to the season. I don't know if you guys saw a former lineman of the Detroit Lions, Ndamukong Suh, and his press conference yesterday. It kind of reminded me of D'Antonio's next question press conference, because that's exactly what Ndamukong Suh, had to say after that loss to the Jets. And really interesting stuff. I mean, the Dolphins have been awful on both sides of the football. They're ranked number 23 in total offense, number 30 in total defense, including dead last against the run at 160.5 rushing yards per game, despite the addition of Ndamukong Suh. So, yeah. You should have stayed in Detroit, Sue. That's what happens. You know what I mean? No, I'm joking. And Dominic, he's a heck of an athlete. But, just a bad situation out in Miami right now. He went for the moolah. He went for the moolah, and you can't blame him, you know, when looking at his contract. So, real briefly, Isaac, do the Lions have any shot at beating the Seahawks tonight?
I mean, I think there's reason for optimism in the season. In this game, I don't think quite as much. I think with the way the offense is working, unless they can suddenly put all the pieces together and make it work, I just don't see it happening against this defense because I don't know what pieces there are from what we've seen. Like the Lions offensive just can't line, get it right.
That offensive line is just
atrocious.
Bad, man. But the only reason I'm going to choose the Lions to win tonight on my my ESPN pick'em is because I am down 1 point to the current leader, and I'm pretty sure that the current leader in my group is going to choose the Seahawks to win that game. So hey, it's just a shot in the dark. If the Lions win, I tie them. Boom. So we'll see
that
though.
Makes
but
sense. That
realistically,
makes sense.
Yeah, realistically though, I don't think the Lions are going to win tonight. Just no. All right, let's close out the show with our weekend winners. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Alrighty, it's time for Weekend Winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was in the world of sports and beyond and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend overall. It's our Weekend Winners, and we have a few losers here and there. For me, and as much as it pains me to do this, but I got to shout out Drew Brees, quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. My gosh, what a game it was last night. I stayed up for the entire thing. Of course, I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, but you got the chance to see history last night because Drew Brees became a part of an exclusive club, the 400 Club. 400 TD passes. He had an 80-yard pass to C.J. Spiller to cap off a 26-20 overtime victory over my Cowboys. That was fun to watch. Isaac, I'm pretty sure you got a big smile on your face because of that win last night.
Not anymore. Al, that was a brilliant campaigning move from you. Seriously.
Yeah.
No, I was about to really go at you because of that win.
Yep.
So, no, for you to acknowledge it, it kind of steals my thunder.
Got ahead of the game, baby.
You know, yep. Go Saints. So, no, you already did it. So, yeah, I guess we beat you. Yeah, that's a weekend winner. And,
yep.
I guess I have to go Max Scherzer. You know, two no-hitters in the same season, one of six pitchers ever.
Yeah.
Good job.
See that? Isaac, he had this plan, folks, to completely bash me on today's show and rub it in my face that the Cowboys lost to his New Orleans Saints. But that's a tip for you. Get ahead of the game, and you never have to deal with any animosity on the other side of the end, right?
Yeah, I was going to say something about linking how we started the show talking about being humbled, and that's how we were going to end it.
But that was going to go out the window.
Smart campaigning move.
Yeah,
way to go.
Also, Clay Matthews. I love Clay Matthews. Did you see him talking crap to Colin Kaepernick of the San Francisco 49ers? They actually have audio of him saying, "You ain't Russell Wilson, bro." Yeah, that was great. He's also one of my my weekend winners as well. And a loser for me has to be probably Kevin Durant right now with this whole beef with Stephen A. Smith of ESPN. Kevin Durant went on to say, quote, "I don't talk to Stephen A. Smith at all. Nobody in my family, my friends, they don't talk to him. So he's lying. He's making up stories." Of course, Stephen A. has been quoted in saying that, yeah, Kevin Durant, man, it's just an interesting story, a weird story. So, that's all I got, though. And a special thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's edition of WKR's Current Sports. I want to give a special thanks to Omari Sankofa, sports writer for CampusRush.com. He does one fantastic job, and we're glad we got him on the airwaves today. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.